from My Waste of Talent, we've got cheeseburger soup.
Cheeseburger soup? Is this... Can this be a teen movie for the modern age where not everyone wants to go to university and so some of them are going straight into work and becoming artisan cooks? Like,
what?
Hipster. Right, so, right, you know, not everyone's going to higher education now because this often it doesn't lead into work.
Mm.
So, people are... While everyone else is going off to college...
It leads to podcasts.
While everyone else has gone off to college, Kumail Nanjiani...
Mm.
He's definitely young enough.
yeah, he's a teen.
Decides that it's not for him.
Mm.
He's gonna start. He's had two jobs, right?
Mm.
A soup chef and a fry cook.
And there's a scene where he like he's at the fry cook place and he just takes out a can of soup that he accidentally left in his pocket
from his other job.
And he picks up like a burger in one hand and the soup in the other. And then he just slowly squishes them together.
Squishes soup.
Just like rubbing the burger against the can, and it's like, you can just see he's thinking.
Yeah. Everything goes out of focus. Mm. Like except his face and the can, and then he's just rubbing it together. You can see that, like, his brow furrowing slowly. This is like a 3-minute shot. Of him
rubbing
frowning,
a cheeseburger
rubbing.
And some soup together.
Yeah, and eventually he's like it gets to the 3-minute mark, and he goes, "I've got it."
Like, it's essentially like a semi-parodying version of The Social Network, but with someone just combining cheeseburgers and soup.
Something really simple, but...
As
like,
these,
but he's
these
so
twins that think they came up with it, and they're suing. It starts with him in a legal battle.
Well, he's so charismatic, right, that people come and this thing kicks off, right? But the person who suggested he should make it into a business is at college doing all... Gonna have a,
it's
he's gonna have a...
shot for shot The Social Network. Instead of Facebook,
it's Kumail Nanjiani rubbing cheeseburgers in soup.
And what he does is, like, both his managers, like, sue him for, like, legal claim over his product because, you know, they gave him the idea. And so what he does...
Cheeseburgers and soup.
What he does is there's, like, a really clever bit where he turns around and he goes, "Only one of you can sue me because, you know, you can't both claim, like, copyright on this." So first of all, you're going to have a legal battle.
You're going to have to sue each other
to have the claim on my product. And he just leaves them to it.
And meanwhile, he makes millions off his product and then overwhelms them with like a 10-man lawyer team because he's now richer than both his managers combined. Oh, man. They're juking and jiving in the legal world. Teen comedy.
But it's like a proper like a political thriller, and then occasionally just cuts to him just sat in his room like with a girl and like just going, "Hey, like, I like you." Like just occasionally, like almost like as a token attempt, comes back to the teen comedy kind of tropes.
I'm like, they just sat on the bed and he goes, "I like you," and then she just doesn't even say anything, she just walks off, grabs a bag.
And he gets out a bowl of cheeseburger soup.
His love interest is in law school. Would make sense.
Okay, yeah. And she's helping him with the case of being sued by the McDonald's twins. Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's also having to stop him play all the pranks he is on each manager while they're suing him. He's, like, going around playing needless pranks to stay within the teen film, like, genre.
Yeah.
Like he just, I don't know, staples burgers to one guy's eyes. Is that a prank?
I think that's assault.
While he's asleep.
That's just flat out, like, harm.
Ha, I burger stapled you.
That's that the kids are calling it.
I burger stapled you.
News report. It's a new teen, a dangerous teen trend that's sweeping the nation.
He keeps
burger
them.
Stapling has become. Burger stapling become the danger that your child will be facing at school?
And he keeps starting these trends like burger stapling.
And that's how he becomes like famous.
Soup attacking, where you just throw hot soup in people's faces.
Burger stapling is like, to Kumail Nanjiani's character, what Face Smash was to. Is it Face Smash? In Social Network, where he gets two female
His first project.
Hot and not, yeah. Is it Face Smash? Yeah, to Jesse Eisenberg's character in The Social Network.
He just has this online trend of, hi, welcome to Burger Staple.
Ah! This is so painful, I'm bleeding!
It's like happy slapping, but with a lot more prep work.
You've got to have ingredients.
Yeah,
and it has to be a freshly cooked burger, so there's burning as well.
Same with the soup zone, which is what happens, you know, basically, you order a pizza, and then the pizza delivery man comes to the door, and out of a first-story window, you pour freshly boiled soup and shout, "You're in the soup zone!"
And, like, throughout this film, he's having really dramatic scenes with, like, lawyers. Like, you can't prove that you had the legal rights to the cheeseburgers that I used. Now, good day, sir! Gets a burger and just staples it to his face. And then runs away in, like, a really childlike manner.
Runs away, not in a childlike manner, just like a strange person would.
So this is like
arms and legs going everywhere.
It's just like, I don't know if we're supposed to be rooting for Kumail Nanjiani here, where it's just like prank bros meet the world of law.
It's like an anti Silicon Valley propaganda.
Yeah. He just keeps stapling burgers to people's
and. Chucking soup on people like a medieval anti-siege tactic.
You just got soup zoned.
Soup zoned. Ah, my face!
Isn't even that creative. He has just put a cheeseburger in a bowl of soup.
But that's the thing. It doesn't have to be creative because the two viral hit sensations of burger stapling and soup zoning are combined into one great taste. The two great tastes that taste great together.
So you can just, like, throw this cheeseburger soup at someone and then staple it at the last minute.
Now we're getting into Avengers territory.
So it's all just been turned to make, like, all been created for more elaborate pranks.
So that was cheeseburger soup?
Cheeseburger soup!
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's more of a college comedy, but we'll get there. You know, it's that sort of really bad.
There is also the fact that the teen movies have changed in the past few years, and that now no longer do you get teen movies where the teenagers aren't in some way magic. Like, where they have a magic ability to lead a revolution in a post-apocalyptic universe, or are part vampire, or are having sex with a vampire, or, you know, are Divergent, whatever that is, whatever happens in Divergent, I have no
idea. She diverges. I think.
To diverge.
Different from other ones.
Which is ironic, because the film is just a carbon copy of Hunger Games.
Same with The Maze Runner as well. They both look exactly the same. But just, like, I think The Maze Runner has sort of, like, labyrinth... was it Marathon Man? No, Marathon Man, I'm thinking of something else. What's a film where they just, like, are chased through tunnels... I might be making this up. Never mind.
Pac-Man.
Running
Pac-Man
Man. Movie.
Running Man. That's the one. Marathon Man.
That's a different film altogether.
Yeah.
$6 Million Man. he chased through any tunnels. Johnny Five.
I want to see a teen movie, though, where a nerdy kid doesn't fit in at high school. Can't quite
you can take your pick.
Hang on. But rather than, you know... raping a girl.
Yeah.
where they all end, or beating up people, yeah. or like getting some kind of sick, twisted revenge on someone, or skipping school and realising that in reality all they need to do is drive their fucking dad's car through a window. They just go, well, I'll knuckle down, get good work, get good grades, and, you know, I'll have a good future, and just focus on happens. That.
Yeah.
I think... Well, here's the... I'm going to dive in way too deep here, but just bear with me. Come on this ride with me. Because teen movies are, as I think should be apparent, wish fulfillment for scriptwriters and directors. Mm-hmm. Scriptwriters and directors, creative intellectual types who are good at their job, work hard, and like not necessarily particularly sociable, and definitely weren't sociable in school, right? Mm. Wouldn't have fit in. You look at any of those films, they're portraying themselves in school, but the wish fulfillment is that twisted revenge, mm-hmm. because if you look at the American school system, how it's portrayed, and also how it is, that is what we're looking at. We're looking at an abusive sort of like place where the outcasts are further outcast by the establishment. Like, there's a school board, there's the teachers and shit in these movies, support the jocks. They, like, you know, give them easy A's because they... they give them scholarships and all that stuff because they're good at... They get away with putting a nerd in a locker, and the teachers come along and go, oh, Pat, there's a nerd in the locker. I'm sorry this happened to you. Let's not punish anyone for it. Yeah. It's that sort of thing that I think these people are getting back at. The key here is that these people worked hard. They wrote a script. They directed. They got to the point where they could direct really good movies, right? Mm. And they're still angry.
Yeah.
They did what you just described, still angry enough to make a movie about it.
Yeah. And in reality, nowadays, what's really worrying is culturally, like, all these nerds are growing up and going into the world, and now that the internet exists, they're all being angry together, and they are becoming the bullies of the real world. And you get this switch that most of the harassment and bullying happens now with people who were picked on in high school. Mm. Gamergate and a lot of, you know, your... a lot of them are now going very right-wing anti-feminist, sort of stuff, alt-right kind of... And in reality, that is because... So now we need to create a teen movie where it's jocks beating up Nazi nerds.
Jocks versus Nazi nerds.
Like, it's just, like, these, like, jocks who are just, like... I'm really good at football, but I also think women are great. And, like, are going around going, oh, we do go good at sports, but we also respect women. And then, like, these nerds who are like, well, women are invading our games and also
our spaces. I hate
safe spaces.
Yeah. Okay, so from CyberConnor, we've got She's a Ninja Ghost.
She's also the man. She's a ninja ghost. It's right, so it's...
Is it She's the Man, but instead of pretending to be a man, she's a ninja
school.
Ghost?
She's pretending to be a ninja ghost in an all-ninja ghost school.
So it's Twelfth Night, but with ninja ghosts.
Yeah. Amanda Bynes.
Modern.
In fact,
day Amanda Bynes.
You know what?
Modern
you
day.
Know what? No, I decided that She's the Man is now a series, and they're going through all of Shakespeare's plays. But in this one, She's the Ninja Ghost is about the Tempest.
I was gonna say,
so instead of the Fairy Queen, it's the King of Ghosts.
What's going on?
Turns her best friend into a... has the head of a... camel instead of an ass.
That was a thing you raised earlier.
That's Midsummer's Dream, not The Tempest.
Oh, shit, it is.
The whole
just
thing
amalgamate
of,
them all together.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The whole thing of teen dramas being... well. Modern day adaptations of Shakespeare is quite a weird thing. Yeah,
I just didn't realise that I did conflate The Tempest and Midsummer Night's Dream because I haven't read either of them fully.
That's why they do it, is because teenagers don't give a shit about Shakespeare. Yeah. So it's like it's like putting a pill in a piece of cheese before feeding it to a dog. Like
that, and I think there's a lot of drama in like teen life. Not a lot of needless drama in teen life.
It's also because they are archetypal stories. Mm. Like you might actually make stories with a load of characters and then go, hang, you could start writing She's the Man and then go, hang on. This
sounds a lot like She's the Man, which is a film that already exists.
Start writing She's the Man and then realise She's the Man or is already a film.
I should stop writing existing films.
I've got an idea for a film. It's called Jurassic Park. It's about a park with dinosaurs.
Like, I imagine that
you know
someone...
Universal Studios, right? Like that, but with dinosaurs.
I imagine that someone started writing 10 Things I Hate About You and then went, hang on. I've read this.
This is a Shakespeare.
This is the Taming of the Fucking Shrew, you hack!
I guarantee that all those ones were like, oh, you know what would be a really good idea if we try to get teenagers into Shakespeare? Like, let's just turn them into teen dramas rather than trying to make the actual plays themselves accessible. Mm. Like, that's I think, the route to most of them. Which is why I really want to see Hamlet done as a teen drama.
But it is. I think. And, like, there is, like...
The head teacher killed my dad. Like, it didn't translate very well. Like, my dad was the head teacher when the PE teacher killed him and became the head teacher.
My uncle was the head. My uncle was.
What do you think the
PE teacher
is?
Definitely, Macbeth. But the dad is Macbeth, and the Lindsay Lohan's characters are the witches.
What about Freaky Friday?
That one is quite clearly Richard III.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, when Richard... I should have known from that scene where King Richard swaps with his assassin...
No, he just swaps with his mother, who doesn't get him. He's like, "Ah, oh, Mom, why you gotta ruin my crowning?"
No, he swaps...
A whore, a whore, my kingdom for a whore.
And someone's there to assassinate him, and then they swap bodies, and they don't get each other. They have to live each other's lives.
Maybe I don't understand what it's like to be an assassin. You should kill me.
No.
I insist.
I don't understand what it means to be a king.
Hamlet is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. In a way.
Who could kill the king on a day like today? Bow, bow.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, so she's... What was it? She's the ghost ninja.
Yeah, just thinking of... Alas, poor Yorick. Bow, bow.
The skull turns the camera.
Life moved pretty fast.
Yeah, if you don't stop and look around in a while, you might miss it, like Yorick here.
Life moved pretty fast, says Yorick to the camera.
He grabs the skull and just plays around with it. Like, ah.
To be or not to be the sausage king of New York.
Oh. This is Sergeant Leardis here. You gotta let my daughter off school.
That's right, Ophelia, see?
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Did we do that one?
She's a ninja ghost.
Good enough.
Yeah, it's just, you know, deleted scenes. Oh, God. Should we move on?
Yeah.
I've got one last one from Fingers to Hand. And that is Balkan Skull's Excellent Adventure.
Oh my god, thank you, Fingers, for bringing back my favourite characters from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers of the 90s.
Good, now I know where they're from.
I can sing you their theme tune. Bam, ba-la-la-da, 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 bam, 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 bam. It goes like that.
You did. You did sing us the theme tune.
That's the theme tune I put to Effie and Pandora in my head in the opening episodes of Skin Series 3.
I think you should do that if you get a spare moment. get some footage of skins and then put the Balkan Skull into it.
So explain to me Balkan Skull, so I've got
so better. Balkan Skull are your ultimate caricatures of bad teen.
They were characterized as sort of bully characters, although they were bullying the Power Rangers.
Yeah. They were bullying the Power Rangers' alter egos. But here's the thing. They weren't wearing, like, jock clothing or anything like that. Because if you look at the Power Rangers, that would be oddly sort of self, like shooting themselves in the foot. If you were characterizing the jocks as the bad guys, it's bad to start with the Power Rangers. You know,
they're
it's
just
bad to
bullying each other.
Yeah,
the jocks have turned on themselves.
No, Bulk and Skull are characterized as bikers.
Yeah,
they've got motorcycles, haven't they? One of them wears a bandana over his head, and they both wear leather jackets, and they've got sort of like they wear a lot of black, and they just like and you look at them now, you look at their costumes now, and it's like they've got skulls on their t-shirts. And that's why they're bad.
I don't think they do anything bad.
Are they pirates?
They play pranks and they come in and just go, "Ah, oh, you idiots, you're doing bad at things."
They're trolls. They're internet trolls.
Yes.
Internet trolls before the internet. So.
And they're always just like, "Oh, we're going to have to steal that thing that they've got to ruin their party." And then they'll try and steal the cake and then trip over and their face will go in the cake.
They're the nerds.
Yeah.
They're the evil side of nerds. They're the proper like sit on. They probably nowadays if they remade it, Balkan Skulls would just be on the internet. Wow, I'm being shown a picture of them now. They also are both 40.
Yeah, definitely both 40.
Yeah.
You should see them now.
They're dead.
No, they look exactly the same, just old. No. Is Power Rangers Revenge of the Jocks?
Yeah, it's just them keeping nerds in their place because all the nerds in that universe are the incredibly bitter nerds that exist in this universe.
And space aliens.
Yeah.
Magical space
aliens. Oh, no, they're also beating up nerd culture. They go around, like, beating up nerdy alien-style characters and kaiju.
Yeah.
They're actually, like, they're anti-nerd propaganda. Remember, kids, fighting will always win.
Yeah.
You can imagine some of the most powerful monsters ever, but I will still beat you up.
There was that Power Rangers reboot, wasn't there, that everyone seems to have just forgotten about.
As soon as it came out.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure the people who watched it, like, it was the, like, visual equivalent of going in one ear and out the other, but it just went into their eyes and out of their ears.
Like, apparently it's still not as forgettable as the latest Transformers movie. Like,
I forgot that had happened.
Which one's the latest Transformers?
It's the Knights one.
Oh, shit, yeah, I forgot there was another one. I was like, the one with the dinosaur?
King Arthur one.
Yeah, shit.
So what was the name of the film again?
Balkan Skull's Excellent Adventure. To be honest, I think we just leave it with
description of here's the thing, Balkan Skull, like, you know in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, there you go. Yeah.
I'm sure they do that in the Power Rangers as well.
No, Balkan Skull turn to each other and go, Badla la da da, badla la da da, badla la da da, da 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 da, and then they walk on.
They do the whole thing.
Yeah,
like they stood there for a good like 10 or 20 seconds. Not like a little, like flare. It's like a full like committed tune.
So they're like, okay, it's a good plan. Let's go.
I like the idea that they go through time getting beaten up by different jocks of history. Go back and then get beaten up by Alexander the Great.
Different versions of the Power Rangers.
No, right.
Different jocks of history.
Tell you what's interesting about Bulk and Skull is that they're not the Power Rangers, but they live in the same city as the Power Rangers. You know what happens to the city that the Power Rangers live in every episode? It gets fucking destroyed. So Bulk and Skull are like, their secret identity is like people who save, who evacuate the city. They're like wardens. They save people's lives as giant robot foots comes crashing down through these buildings.
But yeah, that school remains untouched every week.
And their regular hangout, the bar? I don't know what it is. It's like cafe or something.
Go to the bar.
Yeah. Well, they're all 35.
Fair enough. So we've got one from Charlie Gascoigne, and that is wealthy versus poor dancing in the streets.
It's like, wait, hang on. Isn't this just Step Up? No, what's the one? What's the Bring
up,
It On?
Step Up
no.
to the Streets.
Step Upper Class.
Billy Elliot, no. Bring It Over Here, You Other People. Dance. Dance team. Dance
there is no
team.
Film called "Bring It Over Here, You Other People."
Like it's like a monologue from the thing. Like, hey, you dance man, come here.
Dance
now.
Team attack. Is that what the one is called? High school jump competition.
Stop just combining words.
I'm trying to think of the name of the series.
Dance it to the street now, please.
Street stomp, racial tension.
That could either be a dance film or a gang film.
Street stomp.
Tap trap. Revenge.
Revenge of the whiteies.
Break dance the moves, colon. Break your friends.
It's got to be break your others. Break the others. break dance moves, colon. Break the others. It's just like, oh right, I want a series, because this series, what was it called again?
I can't remember. Bring Mitch It Over Here Now, Please.
Bring It Over Here Now, Please. No, what was it called?
Breakdance 3, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And then later, in a warehouse.
just coming up with titles for dance movies.
I think they're called Bring It On and Step Up. Those are the two I'm thinking on.
Loose feet,
yep. Loose feet and
clean dancing.
Loose feet and free of fancy.
The filth shuffle.
The filth shuffle sounds like a sex act. Like,
so does Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing, yeah, but Dirty Dancing is like...
That's an innuendo that your granddad might make.
Yeah.
But like, the filth shuffle is what you're like... Like, really pervy cousin has said he's done with someone.
You
like,
have to look that
oh,
up on Urban
Dictionary,
don't you? Have
you ever done the filth shuffle?
You ever done the filth shuffle and you're like,
you put both fists directly up the anus.
Yeah, but then you've got to go down the shops.
No, the filth shuffle is where someone shits in the bed and you've got to bounce it from one side to the other.
Like a game!
I win the filth shuffle!
Oh, it's sexy, that filth shuffle.
No, you both shit in the bed and then have a race.
Why? Come on! Who gets the benefit of that?
What has this got to do with wealthy versus poor?
Wealthy versus... What was it called? Wealthy versus poor?
The filth shuffle.
Seriously.
Wealthy versus poor, the filth shuffle.
Seriously, what's it called? Once you've finished laughing. Now we'll see whether you're going through puberty or not. And then he puts him in there, and then he's just like...
It's kind of like
playing a video game.
Do you ever see the film 40 Days and 40 Nights?
No.
Now where... I can't remember his name. Oh, shit. He was quite big in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then just completely... dropped off the radar. He was, you know, Sin City.
Yeah.
The opening scene of that.
He was the opening scene.
Yeah, he was the opening scene of that.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Fuck. I'm going to have to go... Because, right, I'm just going to have to Google this for my benefit. Okay. Because I'm good. I can't remember his name.
While he's doing that, right, Journey to the Centre of the Earl. It's a miniaturisation comedy where you get put... You know those... movies where people get miniaturized and put into someone else's body, but it's
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. Never heard of him.
Anyway, carry on.
Slint the eyes, just sort of. Anyway.
Good.
Yeah. The 40 Days and 40 Nights is a film where him and his sort of work colleagues make a bet not to have sex for 40 days and 40 nights.
Oh, yeah,
no
yeah,
sex,
yeah.
No sex, no sexual...
I have anything. Seen this.
Yeah.
Because there's that weird scene where, like, they have a sex time but with a feather and not touching each other.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember that.
There's a whole scene where two of the, like, the two who are, like, trying not to have sex. But he can't tell her because he doesn't want her to know that he's made a bet about sex or something.
This sounds like a weird film.
It's a weird film. Yeah, there's a scene, well, like that where, like, they're baiting his sexual attraction. So, yeah, like, they've got, like, a stripper to come to his house or something like that. And they're all waiting in the bushes, like, he's going to do it. He's going to hit puberty.
He's going to have sex with this stripper.
No, he's just going to get an erection or something like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so he wouldn't be allowed to get an erection because, well, I mean, like, I imagine that's not something that necessarily hits directly on puberty.
No.
But, like, directly affiliated with sexuality, he has to be completely off that altogether. So I think that he goes for, like, meditative training and he's, like, focus his mind and, like, so then it later cuts back to that when he's with the stripper and he just, like, enters this, like, zen state and he's, like...
I love how he spends way too much money on the meditative training. It's only for a tenner. He really wants to win this ill-advised wager. Chad McGuffin is his name.
You know what gets me about 40 Days and 40 Nights? Yeah. It was clearly written by someone who didn't know what being a teenager is like.
I don't think it's a teen movie.
No, but it's written for, like, that age, college age.
Sort of 20-somethings. Yeah.
Because, like... I think it's written for the people in American Pie. Or it's written for the people in teen movies, not for actual teenagers. Yeah.
Actual people.
the people in the world who will go and see a film that even has half a boob in the poster.
Like. Yeah, are not the same people who are like, I couldn't go 40 days and 40 nights without sex. Holy shit, that would be difficult.
I know, it's really hard not to. super hard not to go. Like, I just get approached every hour. It's ridiculous. I keep having to say no. Not today.
Or for the next 40 days and additional 40 nights.
Especially when you're a teenager. I mean, who's like, unless you are the cast of Skins, you know, like the characters from Skins. As a teenager, you're not doing it regularly.
I've been watching Skins recently. That's another thing, teen movie related ish.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the first two series, but I watched the third series when I was a teen, and now I'm rewatching that. And
why are you watching the first two series?
I have no idea.
And even then, like, they are what every teenager thinks they are, and in like. They misrepresent pretty much every teen issue that they try and represent.
I mean, series 1 and 2 misrepresent stuff. Series 3 is a fantasy film.
Yeah. it is ridiculous. I'm just like, I wasn't like that. I never saw any of this.
Who were these? I think every single teenager who watched that assumed that there was another group of teenagers who did that. Everyone sitting in the circle goes, oh, this represents that group that I know. And in reality, it represented no one. But it was close enough that people felt that they knew someone who was like that.
Who's having a rave in a fucking castle? Like, who's breaking into a fucking 17th century...
The money they had for drugs being a teenager... in what was always, like, a fairly working-class to middle-class area, I was like, you would not have that much money for the amount of cocaine that you are snorting.
There was a BuzzFeed article, I think it was on BuzzFeed, where it was, like, places in Bristol that were featured in Skins that I'd done something completely boring in. Just this list of places in Bristol. It was like, yeah, I've sat there, read a book... didn't get high and have sex on a bench. It was, yeah.
Good lord.
But like, yeah. The...
In series one and two, there are quite a lot of boring scenes. Not boring scenes, but they're scenes where
just mundane. Yeah. No, like, yeah, I think the first episode of the third series, I was just like, I'm trying to get the tone for this series.
Is that the one where a guy just skateboards?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's Back to the Future, and then, like, that sort of opening skateboarding scene, it's like, oh, yeah, like, and then, but there's, like, proper drama in it.
Yeah.
And then it ends, flicks. I mean...
It ends with one of the main characters being beaten to death by a therapist.
Jeez, I forgot about that.
Whereas the opening to season one is, I think it opens on Tony, who is the guy from...
Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, Nicholas Holt's one.
He's the guy from Nicholas Holt.
Yeah. It's true, he is.
The life movie.
starting his day, and it's like he wakes up, he's in the bathroom, and then his dad, what's his face from the Fast Show? Oh, God, I forgot his name.
Harry Enfield.
Is knocking on the door like, come on, what are you doing in the bathroom? Tony jumps out the window of the house, like scales down.
I've never had to do that as a teenager.
Goes in the front door, goes and sits down at the breakfast table. So his dad comes down, and is like, what's he doing? Oh wait, he sat there at the breakfast table. It's a brilliant little characterizing bit, yeah. Really cleverly done, just like. You know, it's a normal little...
Skins Series 3 has, yeah, some of the weirdest moments, to the point where I'm like, why is this joke here? Like, there's a point in which, like, this guy at the sort of opening college assembly keeps farting into a megaphone, and everyone laughs. I'm just like, I'm laughing... Mainly because I'm like, whose decision was that? like, what tone is this? To like,
it's like the opinion, the showrunner's opinion of teenagers went down as the show went on.
Yeah, that's my impression I get from that, and it's just a really
weird
really
show.
Strange.
Like, weird show.
In the first episode, there was no one I liked apart from I think Emily, because she got sort of. I think it's because she starts off on the back foot, where it's like her sister's in the toilet and like she misses the shower before they have to go to school because her twin sister's such a bitch, and she's just like, oh, my life.
Yeah.
Oh. And then there was Effie and Pandora, who seem, for want of a better comparison, like a Looney Tunes villain and a sidekick.
Yeah.
They're our protagonists.
Effie is a protagonist from the sole fact that she was in season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, Pandora is a character that, if she existed in real life, would not be taking drugs and getting drunk in the middle of the forest,
no.
Would be doing D&D campaigns with a group of equally dorky friends at a high school.
Like, yeah, she would not have a friend like Effie. Like, the moment they came on screen, I was just like, it immediately had this sort of sly Looney Tunes villains, like, yes, we will... It's a Pinky in the Brain,
yeah.
Is what it is. It's like...
<Yeah.
laughs> The whole series would improve by a one character refusing to go through puberty.
Like, quite a lot of times, like, negative criticism just comes in the form of, well, that sucked.
Yeah. That's, like, or not saying anything at all.
Like,
yeah.
I was trying to talk to my dad about my little brother put on his phone, he's 16, so he can be forgiven. He put, what's that fella out of One Direction?
Harry Styles.
You know his one that's like... But like, okay.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
So the one that...
I like how we both went straight into
it. The one where where, like, these two articles written by his publicists said, is Harry Styles the new David Bowie?
And then went, no!
Yeah, collectively. So I was like...
Everyone in England collectively read that thing and shouted no.
I was like, oh, yeah, Tom, please don't play that. Not this Tom, my brother's called Tom. Hello, Tom, if you're listening. I was like, you know, Oh, Tom, don't play that at the top volume on your phone. It's incredibly annoying, and, you know, like, I associated it with, which is a bad marketing trick, really, but I guess it worked on its target audience, associating that with Bowie. Like, because when you listen to it, and I did, I gave it a full listen.
A proper one, with my ears and everything.
Yeah, I don't mean in terms of, like...
I switched my brain on.
Yeah, I don't mean in terms of, like, I put up with it for 3.5 minutes or whatever it is. I listened to it and really tried to engage with it and see what other people were talking about. Mm. Because I was like, well, if they're saying it's good, then I'll listen. But, like,
I'll join the collective.
I started listening and trying to talk to my dad. I started picking it apart. And he's like, well, you don't need to keep talking about it. We know it's bad. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it doesn't matter. It just like, I don't need to know.
Yeah. But to bring this back to teen films, this idea of, like, try not to analyse it, like, just either enjoy it or don't. Mm. Like, some people really aren't just instinctive judgments on... They don't just have instinctive judgments on things. Mm. They defend their right to not think about why they like things.
Some people are very entrenched in the yum-yuck economy.
Yeah.
Like, it's yum, 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 yum that thing, yum, 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 and then someone across the way is just like, yuck, 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 yeah. Yuck, 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 and, like, all they're saying is that. It's like football teams.
Yes.
Like... Yeah, sorry.
But when you're not analysing it with something like a teen movie, where it is meant to be close to reality, you're also not seeing the insipid things like misogyny and, like, you're just going, hooray, this character! I love Ferris Bueller! Ferris Bueller's a dick. But how dare you! Well, I think beating them to death.
Some people take, talking about, like, misogyny in, like, The Big Bang Theory or something like that, as, like, this show is bad. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think, well, Anita Sarkeesian said you can analyse something and say it's bad for this and still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, and I think quite a lot of people don't get that.
I think The Big Bang Theory is bad, though.
It is shit, yeah.
I dislike Big Bang Theory for multiple reasons, but I also respect many other parts of it. I respect that it's surviving as a laugh track sitcom in a world that is slowly phasing them out.
Mm.
Same as the reason I don't necessarily always enjoy Mrs. Brown Boys, but I give it huge respect, because in a world where the BBC is slowly diminishing their comedic output in replacing it with gritty dramas, Mrs. Brown Boys survives and just holds on for, like, fucking...
I quite like Mrs. Brown's Boys, and I have no idea why. I think it's the fact that...
Sounds like you could use some analysis.
Yeah, I think it's, like, again, I think I like it because... It's very self-aware with what it is.
Yeah.
And there's points where they just leave him messing up a line in.
Yes.
And just has, like, a bit of back and forth with the audience.
To a certain extent,
no other show does that, really.
To a certain extent, I think that makes it an innately harmless show, because everything they say within the show is said within the sense of, we are just here to have fun and make funny. Mm. So even though I don't necessarily like it as a show, and then, you know, they do things like, a lot of their jokes are well-trodden or even in some cases directly stolen from other places.
Yeah.
Like, everything is done in such a world of where you come here for this safe space of just funniness.
Mm. Nobody's going, like, although they do sell the DVDs, that what's really showing, what's telling is that Mrs. Brown's Boys is tours. It tours as a show. Like, because it is that... Oh, what do they call it? Like the Edwardian style theatre, like that kind of variety almost, yeah. But not quite. But like the kind of the idea that you're not here to consume a piece of art, you are here to have fun and laugh at some people on stage.
Yeah,
and like nobody's going, we better save this one for posterity. Nobody's going like, oh, this will be attributed in the days to come. This will be attributed back to Mrs. Brown and her boys. Your jokes, Mrs. Brown and her boys, will be attributed to some other comedian that you got them from.
We need to change the name of it to Mrs. Brown and her boys.
But, like,
I am Mrs. Brown. Let me introduce you, my boys.
But it comes full circle.
They're out in the sea floating, warning boats of shallow waters. I am the boy king.
The boy king.
The boats cannot go without me.
We've got to take him to see the boy king. The boy king? What, is he not very old? No. He lives out among the reefs.
He's as old as the sea.
I wish to pass through this ocean boy king.
You must lace my hand with the finest gold.
And always stay within my guardians.
That's Mrs. Brown. Agnes.
So this has been all about teen movies, right?
Yeah. What time?
How much of this is usable?
Not much.
Probably all of it. It's fine. I've forgotten all of the ones
we've got,
I've seen.
We've got our analytical head on at the moment. We need to get.
I was really annoyed because I kind of want to like my.
Sorry. We've got our analytical head on. The boy king.
No, but that's come out. I still like. The problem is, only about half of what we've just said has been comedic, and the rest has been like proper like film analysis.
You should have seen the stuff I edited out from Bobby and Alec when they were.
Oh no, I completely believe it. I like listen to Strike, and a lot of that is like getting sidetracked into genuine analysis of what has started off as like a sort of like fun joking thing. It ends up being like let's break down the economic system.
There are some days where we start off just pitching random shit, getting into really, really weird, wonderful places. And there are some days where we're like, yeah, let's talk about Labyrinth for 2 hours. And not be funny about it.
Like, again, just to give a little vent to my analytical head, the keenness of that is that if you have enough analytical thought, those shorthands you build up become the jokes.
Yes.
Like, so the flowers of analytical thought, like, I always attribute this to Dan Harmon because that's how Rick and Morty gets made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you think about shit for long enough and then the flowering buds are the jokes. Like, the sort of...
So the joke we got from that, like, half hour of analysis was Mrs. Brown the boy.
That was the flowering.
Oh yeah. That withering bud. Surface level analysis that boy sounds like boy.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.